Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett, and we still exist.
And we took a little hiatus.
I don't feel, but like, you take hiatus to like feel rested. I don't feel rested.
No, I don't. I mean, You think you're taking hiatus to feel rested, but I mean, in this world, the way it is now, there is no rest. You're just constantly churning. Churning into oblivion.
All right. I know this is a horror movie podcast, but like, existential dread is not what I came here for.
So I've been doing lots of video games lately, which has cut my movie watching down because I've been playing lots of video games lately. And one of the games that I started playing was the Evil Dead. Evil Dead the game, the new Evil Dead game that's on like every single platform ever. And so this
what
game
kind of Evil Dead is it? Which one?
All of them?
Like, I mean, on level of goofiness.
Oh, it is not goofy. It is scary and violent. Like,
okay.
It still has
so, like,
kind of
more
the...
like the remake, or
no. So, it's based off of the original stuff. It doesn't have any reference to the remake in the show. So, like, all three original movies in the TV show. But, like, I mean, and of course you have all of the kind of cheeky comments and stuff. But there's more than just Ash. So, I think that if I describe the game to you, it'll make more sense why it's not just Bruce Campbell being Ash. So in this game, you play with four people who are survivors against one type of Kandarian demon, and that's the fifth player. It's like a 1v4 game. And the Kandarian demon can be one of three types. It's like the mom from the basement, the necromancer from the third movie, and then like one of the like demons he fights in the show, right? And so there's like a puppeteer, a necromancer, and then like a stalker demon. But you get to choose as the survivors from, like, probably, like, 20 different people that you can unlock throughout the game, like, through all of Evil Dead. Like, even people like Cheryl and, like, the lady who helps him seal the demon away in the second movie, and some of the knights from the third movie, and the characters from the TV show. And they all have roles and stuff like that they fulfill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because, like, is it just skins, or
nope,
is it...
completely different characters and pathways to level up. Like, everybody's different. They might share a similar role, like a support role, but they all do it differently. Go ahead.
Is that, like, how do you feel about, like, or, I mean, obviously you like the game, but, like, how does that feel in terms of balance? Like, or I guess I'm curious as far as, like, the game development, why, because I would think that the reason that they only have three of the evil things is that it was probably difficult to balance those.
Or they just
so I'm surprised
longer.
That they found a way to have 3 to 20. That seems
well,
like a, that was
to,
a larger ratio than I expected you to
it's
say.
Maybe it's like 10 or 15, but like, I think it's because they wanted to have all the characters from the Evil Dead show, but and they have. I mean, these are games like Dead by Daylight, right? So Dead by Daylight's model was a bunch of people fighting against like a crazy person, like
Friday
Jason
the 13th,
Voorhees,
right?
Or well, yeah. That was where it started, but it was also like. Like the witch from the wretched type of thing, and all of these different horror tropes are in Dead by Dawn or Dead by Daylight. And like that game is really successful, except for that game, you're basically trying to survive it's like a scary game because this guy's stalking, this killer's stalking you around, and you're trying to like do things to escape, right? In the Evil Dead game, you're like more offensive, you're like trying to find the pages in the Necronomicon and seal away the dark ones, right? And kill the demon, and you have to fight through like hordes of deadites to do that, and it is very violent and very fun. But then there's also this aspect of the game where like it's like literal fear, so you can be so scared in the game that the Kandarian demon can possess you and like start making you attack your teammates, and that happens from like being in the light, getting spooked by the like the Kandarian demon player can jump scare you, and like. It doesn't, like, track any movement on the outside of the game, but it's, like, a way for you to gain fear if you're not in light. But it does scare the living F out of you. Like,
that's cool.
And then there's also, like, the demon can, like, possess trees, and if you're running around through the forest trying to take a shortcut, he can just, like, whack you with the tree. And it is very, very scary. And the map is very dark, so there's certain things you can light up in the middle of like the forest and things like that where you're walking around. And it's a very big map. It's very big. So there's cars and stuff to get around. It's kind of like Fortnite-sized map. I know that doesn't reference for you, but it's big enough that you would need like vehicles and stuff to get around. But as the game progresses on, the map kind of gets smaller. And the like the demon can like it's so it's dark enough that there can be jump scares just from like you getting running into a demon you didn't see, right? So I don't know, I feel like it got a lot of horror in it that I wasn't quite expecting, because you know you're right, like you expect these Evil Dead things to be very campy, right?
Yeah.
And kind of cheeky and stuff, but they did a really good job of making this game like legit jump scary and scary, so
What
while still having a lot
does
of competitive play, which is fun.
how do the how's the person that's playing as the demon like keep track of where they're at if they're driving across a big map?
They can like fly around as like a spirit, kind of like the show does or the movies do, and so like
Okay.
they might not interact, be able to interact with you because they don't have enough like demonic energy yet, but they can like summon deadites and possess like the car. They can possess the car you're in too, like they can
Oh,
possess
cool.
different items and stuff like that. And yeah, they can possess their minions to try to make them stronger. But basically, you're like, and you can come out. Eventually, you can come out yourself if you're playing the right kind of demon. But it's done in such a way that the demon can move around, but the demon, if the demon just sticks with the survivors, he can't, they can't get enough energy to like level up and get more skills and stuff, because there's like active leveling up in the match. And so the demon has to kind of like plan and plot ahead and like, you know, understand where they're gonna go next to set traps and stuff. Like there's like a whole different style of play. The survivors are like trying to find items and like upgrade their guns and stuff and make sure that they have like really good ways to kill deadites, and the demon players like setting traps for them and setting jump scares and doing all this stuff. So
Kind of reminds me of Betrayal on Haunted Hill.
yeah, like the
As
board
far
game.
as the board game, yeah.
yeah
Like or like, you know, once you reach that threshold or
mm-hmm
whatever and it like
very
kicks into
much so
that.
like
That's
that.
kind of reminds me of that. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool too. It's like $40 too, so it's not a super high, it's not like a AAA priced game. It's priced
Yeah.
more accessibly, which I think is a cool move by
Is it
the
cross-platform?
developers. Yeah, you can play it on Switch. You can play it, like it's on all the platforms, and then all the platforms can play together.
That's
So we
good.
played PC, Xbox, and PlayStation earlier today.
I hate when they disable cross. I mean, this isn't the type of game that normally would have that problem, but it's just nice that it
I
doesn't.
mean, if you have big titles like Fortnite doing it, you kind of like shoot yourself in the foot competitively if you don't like do crossplay.
Yeah,
Anyway, the
that's
Evil Dead
true.
game is cool, and if you like jump scares in Evil Dead, you should go play it because it's pretty good and it's pretty cheap, and you can get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Do it.
Do it. All right, let's talk about some trailies. That's what I'm calling spooky trailers.
All right.
Okay, calm down,
This
everyone.
okay.
The first trailie we have is Where the Scary Things Are. When you put this on here, I was like, nah, this is dumb. Like, there's no way this is going to be like, this is him trolling me. It's
it
like a
sounds like Where the
sequel
Wild
to Where
Things
the
Are,
Wild
but
Things
yeah,
Are, yeah. But
exactly.
then immediately pulls me in because it's like, there's like a teacher who's like, you guys are going to make your own urban legends up. And I'm like, well, we've seen this movie before in Urban Legend, but I wonder what they're going to do with it now. And I did not disappoint. I was kind of excited with the urban legend thing that they do and how they kind of make it their own. I don't want to spoil too much because if you didn't see the trailer, I think this movie can be really cool if you don't see the trailer. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll watch that for sure.
Yeah, it looked fun and different. I didn't get I mean, you get some tropey vibes, but I mean, I think that's part of it,
Yeah.
is that there's going to be some homage to like slashers and maybe creature features too, a little bit, possibly. I don't know, and I don't know. I got really good vibes. I think that it kind of reminded me of Haunt, in that it might kind of sneak up as being a pretty sneaky good one that you don't think would be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I've this seems familiar, and then you watch it and you're like, oh, well, you know, if you execute it good, it doesn't really matter.
It's true. It's true. So yeah, I don't, it might be out already though, but it's pretty cool. It looks like a pretty cool movie, so. And then this other one we know is out already, but it's think it's worth talking about. And maybe this should have been in the news since it's out already, but I or in the reviews, but this movie is like a movie that Looks really cool. The trailer for Monsters is really cool. I think it's got Christina Ricci in it too, which I'm a huge
Yes,
fan of
yeah,
because of
she's the
Cursed
main,
and
yeah,
things like
she's the
that. So,
protagonist. Yeah.
but
She
it
plays
looked
like a
really,
mom from like the 50s.
yeah. And I think that's part of like the gimmick of the payoff, I guess. But she's like a mom who's like taken her kid and like ran away from their abusive family or something, and they come back. It's kind of the premise is like. Some of the family come back and try to mess with them, but it's like not a family member. It's like a crazy skeleton ghost or something. I don't know. It's a really cool looking monster though.
Yeah, I really liked the creature effects that they show you in the trailer, and like reviews have kept me from just like brief readings of some other reviews have kept me from like I have to go get it, watch it now. Having that approach to it, I will still watch it at some point, and I'm hoping that I'll be pleasantly surprised after reading some other stuff. I got some certain expectations established in my head, but the trailer itself made me really excited. So I don't know. Hopefully, it's good.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm like, you can watch this and let me know how it is, because I didn't used to. I mean, when I used to work at a theater a little bit as a young demon, and when we would see movies like Secret Window and Hide and Seek and things like that, I still remember those movies, and I still remember how much I hated them, because I was excited for them from the trailer, but then I saw them and I was like, what a letdown! Like, how bad, how far off base this movie went. And it sounds based off of what you're the stuff you've read, it's going to be like that. And I just don't want to deal with that. I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. I can choose to cut unhappiness out of my life.
Well, speaking of which, I took one for the team last time and took a chance on Hatching, because I mean, it's kind of giving me similar vibes, creature feature stuff, but what else is it about? And that part, like the rest of it is kind of it's not like straight horror. Like it has this like dark fantasy feel to it, which is fine. But like I did there were some legit creature effects and body horror in it. That was great. And there was enough of it that I was very happy I watched it. So that was one that was worth checking out, even though there was some hesitancy, a little bit of apprehension around it, but
Okay.
it was
From
pretty
you or
fun.
from me or from both of us, or this
Kind of
group?
everybody.
Okay.
Like I think there was just that like feeling of, is this actually going to have good body horror and is it actually going to have good effects?
This is gonna be the
Because it was
next
kind of
thing.
yeah, and it's definitely not there, especially plot-wise, because it's much slower. It's yeah, it's got this. It almost feels like a dark fairy tale,
Okay.
in a lot of ways. But it does get pretty gruesome and gross at times, and
That's kind of cool.
it
I've
was
not.
fun.
I like. I've been pleasantly surprised by a lot of dark fantasy movies. So that's kind of cool that you said that because it makes me want to see it. So,
Yeah,
but
I think you'd really like
back to
it.
the trailers. There is a 45, 56-second trailer for Prey, if you're so inclined to see the iconic three dots on someone's head of Predator. So, if you get excited about that, go. Have your 45 seconds of fame with this Prey trailer. I saw Hulu at the end, and I'm like, oh man, like, what is
I
this gonna
know.
be? What is this?
I
I know
know.
we've talked about this a lot, and I don't want to like beat a dead horse, but like, it's so hit or miss with Hulu, and I guess this is their first chance, right? Because they're doing the Hellraiser stuff too, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So, I mean, I hope they can do something cool, because
I mean, this is
isn't
a big franchise, and even though
Predator,
they haven't had, I mean, they haven't had like,
is this
you know, I
show
mean,
or TV or a movie?
it's a movie,
Okay.
and like I mean, I know that they haven't had, the best, like the movies haven't been the best lately, but that's still like a big franchise, and the expectations will be high. I mean, like recently. I've been it just I just kind of like was reminded of, because Prey's coming out, just kind of comparing and everything the previous Predator movies, and I was reminded that I was like, you know what? I actually didn't hate Predators. I actually really liked that
That's
one, and
the
I like
newest one.
that was the one with Adrien Brody.
Oh yeah, I really that's one of my favorite that's probably my favorite one, honestly.
It's really fun, and. Like I went back and watched it. I was like, maybe I'm misremembering it because I did only watch it the one time, and I went back and watched it, and I was like, no, this movie's really fun. I
It has
don't.
the like
I.
dichotomy in it, I think, of like, not the only like it's not just the predator that's the bad guy. Like, people are effing terrible. And so like it's not just the predator that's like the thing you need to watch out for. There's like lots of people in that movie that like try to mess people up, and it's like, man, just Brody can't catch a break.
I know. Yeah, right? It got great. It had some really great set pieces in it. And I thought that I didn't like that it lagged down in like the Lawrence Fishburne stuff. But it wasn't bad. Like it wasn't terrible or anything. But that was probably like that was kind of like the down point for me. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I also couldn't I think the part maybe you can explain this to me. But I think the other part that I was like, I don't feel like this makes sense is they talked about, because like this is clearly like a hunting, what do they call it? Like a hunting, yeah, like a oh, come on, there's that term. But like it's a preserve, right?
Yeah,
For
a hunting
like,
preserve, I think, or
yeah, it's
yeah,
like a
preserve.
hunting, yeah. And like that's what it's played out as. And I'm like, that's a really cool concept. Like I love that they're running with this. And then, but then randomly there's this part where, because like you find out there's like, this bigger predator, right? There's like a bigger race of predators or something, and they're fighting the smaller predators. But then it says something along the lines of like, oh yeah, they must be at war or something. And I'm like, but why would they be at war on the hunting preserve planet? Like I don't understand, why are they here at the same time? Like wouldn't it, like they never explain. And like, and I understand that it's hard for these people that are speculating, like the characters in the movie are speculating. But it's like I can't find the logic of why the small predator and the big predator are on the planet at the same time. It appears that there's only one ship. I had a lot of confusion around that concept.
I
But
mean,
like
to
if
me,
you
it
just
just
ignore
sounds
it.
like there's some kind of story arc we might may not got that we're supposed to infer, where like there's either a competition between them going on, or it's kind of like the well, I'm gonna go do this because I want to show that I can do it, and the other guy, the bigger predator, is like, F that little guy, I'm gonna go mess him up and teach him a lesson. There's like any number of other human things we could put on that, or maybe simply that's just how their race works. And if you're gonna go hunt, you gotta be ready for the real thing. Like, people are gonna hunt you too, and that's just the
You're right.
dichotomy of their society, right?
You're right, 'cause like there's, I mean, what makes the Predator so interesting compared to like other alien races in movies is that they do behave like they have that personification, essentially. Those human elements to them. Like everybody, like almost all other alien races, their goal is to invade, right? Like they're either benevolent or they want to invade the planet, right? And predators don't want to do that. They're like, no, we don't care about your planet. We're just hunting you for sport. Like that's completely different, that motivation. And so you're right. There is that space with them to explore. It could just be completely selfish and like superficial reasons why they're doing
Yeah, I think you're right though.
it.
Like they like and it's hard to do that because you're like what you said. These people are speculating, right? So for all we know, they could be wrong, or maybe like there is no reason, it's just a plot hole or something like that, but or the story's written in such a way that we're supposed to make assumptions, like it's a Christopher Nolan movie. It's just made up of assumptions. I don't know. Like, I honestly didn't really think about it that much because I was too busy like focusing on the, like cool ways that people were trying to kill each other, I guess. I like
Oh,
that
because
they
it's
had
like super fun?
like
Yeah.
Team Fortress 2 style like characters where like this guy is the chain gun guy, and this dude, he's the knife dude. This guy looks unassuming, but he'll kill you with a scalpel. Don't worry, and he'll poison you to make sure that you're paralyzed. Like, I don't know why, but it just makes me feel like it's kind of more like an RPG or a video game. And that'd be a really weird RPG or a fun video game to play where you're like, all right, you meet a bunch of dudes. They all have skill set that you don't have. So survive.
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 I thought it was it yeah it, I mean like if I try to dissect it then I get a little bit lost, but if you just sit back and enjoy it, it's so fun.
Yeah, and I think you're 100% right, because it doesn't come off as a movie you're just gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna sit back. It's not a like popcorn pretzel horror movie, right? It's like, I feel it feels like it's trying to make a statement, or it feels very arty because of the way the shots are and stuff. But then you go watch it and you're like, this is just kind of like an action movie, isn't it? Like,
Yeah, it's fun.
yeah, it's you're,
It's
but I,
so
then
entertaining.
you also have like the Predator movie, the newest one, where you're like, this is a shitty movie apparently, and or it's just really entertaining. It's not supposed to be anything more than that, right? Like.
It's like you're supposed to come to that movie knowing who Shane Black is, I feel like. Like, this movie's gonna be wacky and goofy, and it's not gonna take itself seriously at all. And I think if you approach it any differently, you're gonna be like, what is this garbage? It's like, it's Shane Black. Like,
I feel like
it's
if I would
Lethal
have
Weapon
known
with
that
Predator.
A24 did X or was like keeping it in my mind as I was watching it, I wouldn't have hated it so much. Because I would have been ready for the disappointment. Like when you're watching Shane Black, you're ready for the craziness, right? Or the weirdness. Like I could have been like watching this A24 movie and been like, don't expect much from this. Like they hit their highest point was like Hereditary. Like we're not gonna probably get better than that ever. So I don't know. I get what you're saying though. Like small little aspects about what you know about a movie can definitely influence your window for sure.
Yes,
But
yeah,
I mean,
your
anyway,
expectations.
this Prey movie, it looks kind of cool. I mean, we didn't even talk about it yet, but it's like set in the like I think Native American
1600s, I think.
times, like 1600s. I don't know. Native American times is a racist thing to say, but like it's set in the 1600s, I think, pre Wild West, Wild West-ish times. And
Yeah.
I'm hoping they bring some like weird West stuff into it, which is cool with me because I really like aliens. Like Aliens vs. Cowboys was dumb, but like it's just right up my alley. Like I don't even care if it's bad because it's like a Spider-Man movie. I don't care if it's bad. It's still a Spider-Man movie. Like it's cowboys and weird stuff happening. Like how's it not cool? Like.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You put a predator in a movie or an alien, like a xenomorph
You're
alien
in.
in a movie, I'm gonna watch it, yeah.
Yeah, for
And I'm
sure.
gonna be super, I'm just gonna be excited like I'm 12 years old still. I don't
So
care.
it sounds like we're both gonna watch Prey, but like
Oh, yeah.
maybe it's not good, so don't, you know.
Oh, yeah, it could still be garbage, but still be a lot of fun. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, it's gonna be hard for it not to be at least, at the very least, entertaining. And it being from the guy from 10 Cloverfield Lane makes me think that it's gonna try to be more cerebral than any other Predator movie to date. Take that for what you will, if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing,
Do you know
but
the guy name of that director?
I forgot his
Yeah,
name.
no, that's the joke. It's like, maybe don't brag about a movie that like. That's the one with John Goodman, right? And
Yes.
Ramona Flowers.
Yes, which, like, depending on your feelings, it's Dan Trachtenberg. Depending on your feelings towards that movie, I do think the best part of that movie is the acting. I thought all the
I
actors
never
were
watched it
really, really
honestly
good.
because I didn't really hear things that made me care about it. Because like they're aliens, but they're at the very end. You're like that's a Cloverfield movie. Like what are you doing? I mean, every Cloverfield movie since the first one is like, eh, you know what? Aliens are just dumb. Like let's not do multi-dimensional stuff. Let's just I don't know. Anyway, I have to ask you about a movie that's on this list for like the last few minutes of this podcast because I see one on here and I think I'm getting it confused. Or maybe it's just something you just watched recently and I just forgot that you hadn't seen it. The House that Jack Built, isn't that like a movie from like 10 years ago?
It is a while ago. It's not quite 10, I don't think.
Because that's the
Was
one
it?
with Matt Dillon in it, right?
Yes. 2018, so it was 4 years ago.
Really? Oh my gosh, time is a mystery to us all. Okay. But yeah, so
that
like.
movie.
What do you
Whew.
think about that? Because I remember that one being one where we were all like, this movie's supposed to be like really either really violent and gritty, or it's supposed to be just a crazy mind F.
It's so different and weird, and it's so hard for me to explain how a movie makes me feel, but like it so it's 2.5 hours, let's start there.
Okay,
It's a
so it's a
long
pretty long
movie.
horror movie.
Yes, and it follows Matt. I don't feel like this is ruining anything, but like, because like
Well,
it's pretty
let's
much
just
right
say
from
it's
the get-go.
spoilers for The House of Jack Built from
Yeah,
4 years
there you go.
ago. If you're gonna be,
Yeah,
if you're gonna be persnickety about it, just have a good night.
Which I will start with right now. Like, I do recommend watching it once. So if you want to watch it completely blind, then yeah, go ahead and move on. But it's like, it starts off like he's talking with this other person, and I think his name is Verge. You don't know who he is, but he's just having this conversation, like voiceover, throughout the movie, and they're basically talking about Matt Dillon's life as a serial killer, Jack's life as a serial killer. And so he basically keeps telling stories about his kills and cutting back, and it like shows them happen and everything. And the reason I thought it was so interesting is that it feels very realistic to how a serial killer perceives their kills. Like, it's not like, it feels like it, like every kill feels like what a serial killer would say if he was telling you everything that happened and how he felt while he was doing it. So, like, a lot of the, there's parts of it that feel very real, and there's also parts of it that feel kind of surreal. Like, why did the person that he was killing, like, respond that way? Like, why did they interact that way? And you're like, don't forget that Jack is the one that's telling the story, right? Like, maybe they didn't exactly interact that way, but that's how he remembers it, or that's how he saw it happening, because he's insane. But there's no,
like,
juxtaposition
of, like, what actually happened, though, so it's kind of, like, left up in the
air. You're only on the... Yeah, you're only on the ride from his perspective, but it's not so surreal that like you're like, this is trippy and I don't like it. It feels real. Like, you're in the moment. It feels like a real interaction. It's just that there are these, to me at least, there were just these like brief little moments in a lot of the scenes where I was like, that feels so weird. Like, the way that that interaction happened, and I'm like, I wonder if that's just because Jack's crazy and he's telling the story, so it's like, yeah, that's the way he would say it. But, like, he's also, like, willing to admit that he's like, yeah, I'm smart, but I also got super lucky because the cops were stupid and they didn't catch me when I made this mistake. And this lady was stupid because she didn't catch that, all the, you know, red flags that I was going to kill her. And, like, there's all these, like, he makes all of those comments, and you're like, this feels like you're sitting in an interrogation room with a serial killer, like, confessing all of his murders. And I thought that part was really interesting from like a psychological perspective. And even though the ending gets pretty funky, I also really liked the ending too. The only part I didn't like is that I think they could have cut out 30 minutes, made it a 2-hour movie. They could have cut out 30 minutes of these like random like philosophical monologues that he has, where he just starts talking with Virgil, and they're like cutting back to like him being super pretentious about like, the reason I feel that I have to kill people is because of the Greek blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh, okay, I don't care about any of this, and it's
like,
so
you don't need
thick.
To convince me that your motives are motives at all. Like, I get it. You don't have to tell me why killing is okay. Like, I obviously have accepted you do that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't need any of that. And you're also you're already doing a really good job of like the nuance of who you are through these stories that you're telling. I don't need these little philosophical breaks that are so thick with like just pretentious dialogue that I was like, I just don't care about anything he's saying. And it didn't ruin the movie for me, but it was definitely, when the movie was done, I was like, they could have removed all of those and I feel like you wouldn't have lost anything, and it would be 30 minutes of your life back. But then the rest of those 2 hours, I would be like, wow, what a great movie. I don't know. I think so. I mean, I think it does take some patience because it is a different kind of movie. But if you're ever like, I kind of want to know, that I have a sadistic curiosity of like what a serial killer, like a morbid curiosity for how a serial killer thinks and everything.
Yeah.
I feel like it does a pretty accurate job of what that would be like.
The ending is crazy. With the Poughkeepsie tapes. I'm like, this movie's crazy, and I like how they shot it, and it's like a mockumentary, but okay, cool, I'll check it out. So you should check it out too, listeners, but I think we're out of time for today, so, you know, let us know what you think about the trailers, let us know what you think if you watch The House that Jack Built, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.